Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. Going to the post office takes up valuable time. Leasing a postage meter? Expensive, with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter. And at just a fraction of the cost, you can save up to 80% compared to a postage meter. And you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, use the promo code WSJ for this special offer. A no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in WSJ. That's Stamps.com. Enter WSJ.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
What could hamper the bounce back? Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. It is Thursday, May 8th. Welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
In testimony before Congress, Fed Chair Janet Yellen has identified two threats to the economic recovery. We'll name them in about 13 minutes.
The House has voted to hold a former IRS official in contempt of Congress for failing to answer questions about the targeting scandal.
Amazon is expanding its Sunday delivery service, and you'll hear some of the new cities on the list.
And insurance companies say an estimated 80 to 90% of enrollees under the Affordable Care Act have paid their premiums.
Paying the premium is actually a very important step. It's a final step in signing up for coverage. You can pick a plan online, but until you've actually responded to that first invoice, you aren't technically enrolled, even if your coverage is due to take effect.
Wall Street Journal reporter Louise Radnofsky on why the latest numbers are adding more fuel to the fire over the health insurance overhaul known as Obamacare. She's here in just a moment. The House has voted to hold former IRS official Lois Lerner in contempt of Congress for declining to answer questions of lawmakers. The largely party-line vote did include a handful of Democrats in favor yesterday. Republicans said the citation was necessary to help find the truth about what happened in the alleged IRS targeting of Tea Party groups seeking nonprofit tax status. Ms. Lerner headed the division that handled the group's applications and helped direct the processing of the cases. House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Daryl Issa.
We are trying to move contempt to the court system where an impartial judge can evaluate whether or not Lois Lerner should be ordered back to testify so the American people can know the truth.
Democrats like Elijah Cummings of Maryland said GOP lawmakers were seeking to stir their conservative political base and were running roughshod over Ms. Lerner's rights in the process.
Chairman Issa botched the contempt procedure by not giving Ms. Lerner the proper warnings at the March 5th hearing.
Unlike other IRS officials, Ms. Lerner has twice declined to testify before a House committee, citing her Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. By the way, the House also approved a separate resolution urging the Justice Department to appoint a special prosecutor. Insurance company executives are telling Congress that a high percentage of people signing up for coverage under the Affordable Care Act paid their first month's premium. But that's further fueling the partisan fight over the impact of the health law, because at issue is a complex set of deadlines established by both the Obama administration and insurance companies, which have changed on a number of occasions and vary across the country. Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Louise Radnofsky, who joins us on the T-Mobile hotline. Louise, set this up.
Well, there's been a really big question for a number of months about what proportion of people who've picked their insurance plans through the online exchanges have actually gone on to pay their first month's premium. And what the insurance executive said on Wednesday was that in March and April, around 80-90% of enrollees had. Now, this is controversial in some ways because the Republicans on the committee who had called them in had the week before issued a report in which they said that as of mid-April, only 67% of enrollees had signed up. So Democrats on the committee were quick to say that 80 to 90% is higher than 67%. There's a bit of confusion about why these two different numbers have come about. There is an explanation, but in that gap between the numbers, there's plenty of room for some partisan sparring, and lawmakers on both sides were really trading accusations that the other was distorting data in some way.
So why is there a discrepancy in the numbers between what Republicans have and what these insurance executives are saying?
Well, it's basically because the numbers reflect different time frames. People tend to pay up toward the deadline, and in some cases the deadline for those millions of people who'd signed up for coverage right at the last minute hadn't passed for them to pay their premiums, and so they weren't yet overdue, and they hadn't yet dropped out of the system. That said, what Republicans have said their 67% number does show is that with people who haven't yet paid their premiums, there is still some gap, and they're not signed up until they are fully paid up and enrolled, and that difference does matter.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Louise Radnofsky. Does the number of people who've paid their premiums meet the expectations of the Obama administration?
Well, the number of people who've picked plans under the Affordable Care Act certainly exceeds what the administration had accepted as a projection for the year to come. And to be honest, at some points, their wildest hopes for how the first year might have gone, because obviously at its worst moments, it really did seem as if even getting to a few million would be hard. Getting to 6 or 7 million, which were two of the projections that had been floating around, was unthinkable. And getting to 8 million was a real delight for people who support the law.
Anything else, Louise, that we should take away from this hearing?
Well, the insurers certainly came in for some tough grilling from members who wanted to know what was going to happen with premiums next year. This is a huge issue because what it really shows is the direction the law is heading, and in particular whether the rough start that it had for 2014 could have an effect that lingers into 2015, essentially because not enough healthy people signed up and only sick people did. What the insurers said was that they couldn't talk about premiums at this point. They said it was too early, they were too varied across the country, and they were still in progress. But what everybody's watching for very closely and may start to learn about in the coming weeks is exactly what's going on with those 2015 premiums. It's a big issue.
Thanks, Louise. Wall Street Journal reporter Louise Radnofsky in Washington. One other note to pass along from her story. She says Healthcare Service Corporation, WellPoint, and Cigna said they believe their companies would be interested in providing a new kind of low premium but high out-of-pocket cost insurance known as copper coverage if the law was changed to allow the sale of such products. 13 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
By 2025, it's estimated that half the world's population will lack access to safe drinking water. A sorry state of affairs as two-thirds of our planet is covered by water. We are helping develop solutions for salt water to satisfy the thirst of future generations. BASF, the chemical company.
Squarespace, the easiest way to create an exceptional website. Squarespace provides everything you need to create a beautiful website for you or your business, including trendy designs and unique styles. And you don't have to worry about getting stuck along the way. Squarespace has a 24/7 support team. Try Squarespace today for free, and when you're ready to go live, enter WSJ at checkout and save 10%. Plus, you get free hosting. Use promo code WSJ at squarespace.com/WSJ. Squarespace.com/WSJ. Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program is brought to you by ProFlowers.com. Do you want to know the best way to thank Mom for all she's done for you through the years? Send her a beautiful 100 blooms bouquet plus a free glass vase from ProFlowers.com for just $19.99. Upgrade to 100 blooms with a pink vase and chocolates for just $9.99 more. ProFlowers freshly picked bouquets make the perfect gift for Mother's Day and will last the whole week. Ordering is easy. Just pick your delivery date and it's guaranteed on time. Here's the only way to get this amazing Mother's Day deal. Go to ProFlowers.com, click on the blue microphone in the top right corner, and type in WSJ. That's ProFlowers.com, click the blue microphone, and type in WSJ. This deal expires Friday at midnight, so be sure that you thank Mom and place your order today. We're learning more about an attack by gunmen in Nigeria's northeast that left more than 100 people dead in a trading town, according to witnesses and local officials. The shooting spree happened Monday in a remote town near Nigeria's border with Cameroon. One local official said fighters burned shopkeepers alive, tossed homemade bombs into houses, and gunned down Muslims praying inside a mosque. Area residents blame the violence on the militant group Boko Haram, an insurgency trying to impose Islamic law. Boko Haram has been conducting a violent campaign in northern Nigeria lately. One particular incident has attracted global attention. On April 14th, more than 200 teenage girls were abducted from a rural high school. The group's leader said he's keeping those girls as slaves and would sell some of them. Now the U.S. is stepping in to help find the girls. Here's Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. Julian, who is the U.S. sending to Nigeria to help?
These include people who are experts on communications, intelligence, and logistics, who can advise the Nigerian government on a hostage rescue operation.
Is this going to be enough to help them, or is this more of a symbolic gesture?
Well, I think that it certainly is a symbolic gesture, a way for the United States to show that this is important. But it's more than just symbolism. The U.S. and Nigeria have been at odds at times about the level of cooperation in combating Islamic terrorists in Nigeria's north, particularly Boko Haram. And so this is a first step. Now, it could lead to something greater. It could lead to more cooperation. The U.S. and Nigeria are discussing intelligence cooperation, sharing satellite imagery with Nigeria. That has not been agreed to yet. But this is a first step. If it leads to something more, it will become more real. If it stops here, it'll be more symbolic.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal Pentagon correspondent Julian Barnes. What's the reason behind the U.S. deciding to get involved in Nigeria here?
Well, you know, the United States has been talking about Boko Haram as a threat, as a regional threat, for a long time. The previous Africa commander, now retired General Carter Ham, talked a lot about Boko Haram as a threat in Africa. Now, this is not a group that has the ability to carry out an attack directly on the U.S., but it is a threat to stability in Africa, and it has something that's been on the U.S. radar. Now, this most recent attack and the hostage taking of the 223 girls has definitely raised the profile of Boko Haram and raised pressure both on Nigeria and the United States to take this threat seriously.
Wall Street Journal reporter Julian Barnes from the Pentagon. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. As a group on federal exams, our high school seniors show no improvement in math or reading. Scores for last year's National Assessment of Educational Progress have not moved since 2009. The Journal's Caroline Porter.
There was a correlation between the students who had more difficult classwork and their test scores. They did better than the other students who perhaps did not take the higher level math or talked as much about their reading.
About 38% of students scored proficient or better in reading, 26% in math, which matched those results from 2009. The Transportation Department has issued an emergency order requiring that railroads inform state emergency management officials before moving large shipments of crude oil through their states. It also urged railroads not to use older model tank cars that are easily ruptured in accidents. The House has voted to hold former IRS official Lois Lerner in contempt of Congress for declining to answer questions about alleged IRS targeting of Tea Party groups seeking nonprofit tax status. A handful of Democrats backed the measure. Republicans hope the matter will wind up in court. Members of one House committee have voted to ban the government's bulk collection of our phone data, and today a second House panel takes up a similar bill. Both are broadly in line with White House plans for phone companies and not the government to store the records. A full House vote could come by month's end. Senate leaders have not endorsed a specific approach. Stock futures up a little bit this morning after a mixed close for Wall Street. The Dow added almost 118 points. The S&P 500 gained 10. Fed Chair Janet Yellen gave a relatively upbeat outlook for the economy. The NASDAQ fell 13, dented by consumer internet shares. FedEx is changing the way it charges to ship bulky parcels starting next year. It will price ground delivery packaging according to size, which means a price increase on more than a third of the ground shipments.
A toilet paper package currently weighs about 8 pounds and would cost about $10 to ship. But that would increase by 37% under the new dimensional packaging, where it would be about nearly $14.
The Journal's Laura Stevens. If you don't have Amazon Sunday delivery, well, you might have it now. The service has been added in 15 additional cities, including Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Oklahoma City, and San Antonio. It first started in Los Angeles and New York this past fall.
Well, that, all right. That list continues to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Gina. 23 minutes after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for being with us on this Friday eve. A bunch of U.S. companies that do business in Russia and Ukraine, hotel firms, banks, manufacturers, are warning of losses and risks due to things like sanctions. Plus, multinationals that sell to Russian consumers say they're getting hit by the steep drop in the ruble. However, the tensions between Russia and the West have also been good for some businesses. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Will Malden. Will, who's feeling the pinch?
Well, it's all over the map. Everyone knows the oil businesses that do business in Russia have business at risk. Also, some of the big European companies like Société Générale had a big write-down this week. Carlsberg, the brewing company, and Imperial Tobacco, even cigarettes are taking a hit there where Russia has some new anti-tobacco laws. But what we're seeing is a wide range of American companies, often MasterCard, Visa. All these are having fallout from the sanctions.
Okay. So the U.S. and Europe, I assume, were aware of these implications, right, when they started announcing the sanctions?
They're aware of some of them, and they're tracking them very closely, according to the people I've talked to at the Treasury Department. There are other businesses that are benefiting. There's a satellite company, Digital Globe, that takes pictures. They're selling images of Russian troop movements to NATO and other countries. They're also involved in the Malaysian missing airline search. There's another company, Alin Corporation, which makes Winchester ammunition, and they say that Russian ammunition shipments could be blocked between the U.S. and Russia. That could actually help their business and help their industry.
Interesting. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Will Malden about the Russian turmoil and how sanctions are hurting some businesses now. So Americans or American firms doing business with Russia or that have businesses in Russia, are they okay with the sanctions politically? Like, are they forgiving on that front or are they unhappy about this?
The U.S. firms, unlike the German companies, are not openly showing displeasure with the sanctions. All they're saying quietly in Washington is, please, can we do sanctions in lockstep with the EU? That way our businesses won't suffer any more than the European ones will. But don't forget, some of these businesses aren't being affected by sanctions per se. The ruble is dropping, the Russian ruble. That makes the price of their goods that they ship to Russia more expensive for Russians who can't afford as much. That's another reason. Wow. Some of these businesses are getting hit.
And you mentioned before some of them questioning their operations. Any of these firms actually come out and say they are pulling up stakes because it's just not worth it?
No, they didn't. In fact, Visa and MasterCard indicated that, you know, their long-term rewards and growth potential in Russia, they've dealt with problems in Mexico and Europe and other places. And for now, they're staying the course till they see the final fallout, till they see how the Russian central bank is going to treat them under some new legislation there.
Thanks, Will. Wall Street Journal reporter William Malden. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Coming up, the latest on the IRS targeting scandal. We'll be live in Washington with Fox News correspondent Mike Emanuel.
You just watched the market close in Shanghai. New York doesn't open for a couple of hours, so there's time to fit in a session at the gym, squeeze in a haircut, go hit a few balls at the driving range, shoot off some emails, and maybe even breakfast across town. And you'll still be the first one in the office. You're always ready to go the extra mile. Fortunately, so is your Cadillac. With Cadillac Certified Service, our experts make sure your Cadillac is as ready to go as you are.
For a limited time, get a $100 mail-in rebate debit card on a set of four select brand-name tires at your Cadillac dealer. See participating dealer for eligible tire brands and details. Rebate form must be postmarked by June 30th, 2014. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery of debit card. Offer ends May 31st, 2014.
Hi.
powered by the most trusted name in journalism. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news.
Glad you could be with us on this Friday, rather, Friday Eve, as we like to say. Gordon Deal with Gina Cervetti. Coming up this half hour, the House votes to hold a former IRS official in contempt, an upbeat economic outlook, and the airlines that are killing you when it comes to frequent flyer rewards. We'll have that report in about 6 or 7 minutes. The House has voted to hold former IRS official Lois Lerner in contempt of Congress for declining to answer lawmakers' questions. The largely party-line vote yesterday did include a handful of Democrats in favor. Republicans said the citation was necessary to help find the truth about what happened in the alleged IRS targeting of Tea Party groups seeking nonprofit tax status. Ms. Lerner headed the division that handled the group's applications and helped direct the processing of the cases. California Congressman Daryl Issa chairs the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee.
The Fifth Amendment is protection. It is a shield. Lois Lerner used it as a sword to cut and then defend herself from any response.
Democrats said GOP lawmakers were seeking to stir their conservative political base and were running roughshod over Ms. Lerner's rights in the process. They compared the GOP move to McCarthy-era bullying. So what happens next? Joining us now is Fox News congressional correspondent Mike Emanuel, who's with us live this morning in Washington. Mike, thanks for being here. What does all this mean exactly?
Good morning, Gordon. Well, essentially what you've got is House lawmakers who've been trying to get her to speak for the past year ran out of patience. And so they just said, we've got to show that we're serious about this. And so they felt like she had earned contempt of Congress after, you know, avoiding them for about a year. What makes Republicans on the Hill furious is the fact that she's apparently gone into the Justice Department and done a lengthy interview with them about what went on at the IRS. And so they want to say, you know, we're a co-equal branch of government. You need to come talk to Congress as well. And, you know, from talking to my colleague Greta Van Susteren, who is an attorney, she says that a lot of her attorney friends and colleagues say if her attorney had not allowed her to say what she had done, you know, what she had said a year ago defending her actions at the IRS, they don't think they would be in this hot water, but they are in this hot water, and House lawmakers are saying that this investigation is going to continue.
All right, so by going to the Justice Department then, has she sacrificed the Fifth Amendment then, her Fifth Amendment right?
You know, her attorney put out a statement saying that the vote has nothing to do with the facts or the law. Its only purpose is to keep the baseless IRS conspiracy alive through the midterm elections, and so he's saying this is all about midterm politics coming up in the fall. It puts pressure on Eric Holder because a lot of House lawmakers are saying they don't have any faith in the investigation that he has going at the Justice Department. And so right after they voted on contempt of Congress, they also voted on a measure actually pushing Eric Holder, the Attorney General, to bring in outside special counsel. Now, he may ignore that, but 26 Democrats supported that effort. So some Republican lawmakers I talked to late last night said, you know, that's pretty big. Their leadership was telling the Democrats to vote against this measure, and 26 came along saying that the Justice Department investigation isn't serious and an outside special counsel should be appointed. So there are multiple fronts on this, and House lawmakers say it's going to keep going.
Wow. We're speaking with Fox News congressional correspondent Mike Emanuel, who's with us live this morning in Washington. Ultimately, you think that Ms. Lerner will be forced to answer questions before Congress?
You know, that's a great question. You know, they say that this is going to go to a grand jury. It's also going to go to the U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia. And, you know, are they going to review it and say, Ms. Lerner, you need to go back and talk to Congress? By making those factual assertions a year ago, you waived your Fifth Amendment right. And so that's the big fight right now, because Democrats are saying, you know, I don't defend her. I don't know what she did exactly. I'd like answers from her, but I don't think she waived her Fifth Amendment right. And so it's an interesting clash, because you've got Democrats saying she didn't waive her Fifth Amendment right. We can't infringe on her Fifth Amendment right. And some Republicans are saying, well, she's the woman who infringed on a lot of people's First Amendment rights.
Right.
And so you've got a little constitutional clash there.
Man, politics are nasty, aren't they? Midterm election year. Wow.
Absolutely. Welcome to Washington.
Jeez. So this is going to be tied up in the legal process, I guess, for some time. Politically, does that benefit Republicans because it sort of stays on the burner?
I think so. I think they realize that when they go home and they talk to their constituents, there are several topics out there, one being the IRS targeting of conservative groups, Two, the Benghazi terror attack, September 11th, 2012, that really fire up a lot of their supporters back home and where they want answers. They say, what are you finding out about what happened in these two incidents? And so they want to show their constituents that even if they can't physically force her to speak, that they're staying on the case and they're committed to finding answers and trying to get to the bottom of this, trying to make sure that the IRS is not able to be used as a weapon against people for their free speech.
Got it. Hey, listen, I got a personal question for you.
Shoot.
At this hour of the morning, do you have on your radio face or your TV face?
I would have my radio face on at this point. I'll be working on the TV face.
Got it. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Good talking to you. That is Fox News congressional correspondent Mike Emanuel, old friend of mine, fellow Rutgers alum. 20 minutes in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Thanks for spending time with us on this Thursday. Time for a travel update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. Reward yourself today at Lexington Inns, Hotels, and Suites. Earn free stays at hotels worldwide and instant perks at most locations. Visit LexingtonHotels.com. Preparing to book a summer vacation? Keep this in mind if you're planning to tap some frequent flyer miles. Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney is out with his annual survey ranking airlines in frequent flyer reward availability. Scott, what have you found?
This is really good research that a consulting group called IdeaWorks does, and they've done it with us for 5 years now. And it's become more and more important in the airline industry. United Airlines has started using it in their advertising because they do better than some of their competitors. And Delta has been under increasing pressure to really make some changes, and their members pick up on this, and they pick up on obviously their own frustration at actually using their awards. And Delta historically has scored very low, so Delta finally said, "Okay, we're going to make changes," and they actually have tied this to the big changes they're making in their whole frequent flyer program next year. But it turns out that on January 1st, they did start bumping up the allocation of available frequent flyer award seats, and it shows up in the survey. They've had a very big jump in the survey this year, from off the bottom to more in the middle. They're tied with American Airlines.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney about which airlines are the best and worst for frequent flyer awards. Who's worst on the list, and why?
Oh, well, our perennial worst is U.S. Airways, and this is actually something of concern to American Airlines flyers, because the U.S. Airways program is merging with American's program. U.S. Airways executives are largely in charge of the merged airline. So which philosophy is going to win out here?
Thanks, Scott. Wall Street Journal airline writer Scott McCartney. 15 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
Hi, I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business called Podlexing, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, how can you know which one will produce the best talent? Realistically, to fill the position fast and with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can do it with a single click with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com lets you post to more than 40 job sites at once. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You can screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter free right now and find out why it's been used by over 100,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of this program can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
This portion of the program is brought to you by Shari's Berries. Your mom spoiled you. Now it's time to spoil mom. With berries and flowers, you can spoil her twice. This is a one-day-only offer. Send mom a beautiful bouquet of flowers, and on the very next day, have freshly dipped strawberries delivered from Shari's Berries for only $39.99. She won't even see it coming. What a surprise. Shari's berries are dipped in white milk and dark chocolatey goodness, topped with chocolate chips, decorative swizzle, or nuts. And the flowers are the classic gift and absolutely beautiful. All you need to do is enter the code WSJ when you order. Here's the only way to get this amazing Mother's Day deal. Call 866-FRUIT-02 or visit berries.com. That's berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in WSJ. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in WSJ. This offer is good for today only. You know she'll call all her friends to talk about these incredible surprise berries, so hurry and order now. 10 minutes before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning, Gina Cervetti is back with America's First News.
Good morning. Fed Chair Janet Yellen has given a relatively upbeat assessment of where our economy is headed, saying it's on track for solid growth. But she also raised some potential red flags in testimony on Capitol Hill.
Many Americans who want a job are still unemployed. Inflation continues to run below the FOMC's longer-run objective, and work remains to strengthen our financial system.
And the housing recovery has slowed. Meanwhile, the Fed has signaled that there's no change in plans to keep short-term interest rates at very low levels for many months to come. New York City has notified families of September 11th victims that they will be able to witness delivery of unidentified remains to the National September 11th Memorial and Museum site on Saturday. The remains are set to be moved from the medical examiner's office and interred at bedrock level of the museum, but some family members are critical of the plan, pointing out that the site flooded during Superstorm Sandy, and some family members want the relatives to be surveyed about where they want the remains interred. The DEA is ramping up its crackdown on synthetic drug makers and sellers, serving hundreds of search and arrest warrants in 24 states, including Alabama and Florida, homes, warehouses, smoke shops targeted, starting early yesterday amid a crackdown on things like so-called bath salts. The Pentagon says the U.S. military has no plans to carry out a rescue of more than 200 schoolgirls kidnapped in Nigeria by the Islamist militant group Boko Haram, but the United States is sending personnel to, quote, advise and assess. U.S. stock futures are narrowly mixed after a mixed close yesterday, with the Dow up almost 118, the S&P adding 5. But consumer internet stocks dented the NASDAQ, which fell 13. Market strategist Stephen Goldman says international news also kept the market aloft.
Some news today with Russia kind of suggesting that there not be a vote in the coming week or so and moving away from the Ukrainian borders.
President Vladimir Putin called on Ukrainian separatists to put off a secession vote, but Interfax News says the separatists are saying they plan to move ahead with the vote. A new report from RealtyTrack shows that 43% of homebuyers this year have paid in cash only. Who's doing this? Well, the wealthy and those downsizing empty nesters, but also investors eager to flip homes. Florida had the top five markets for cash sales.
Man.
43%. That's a bigger percentage than I would have guessed.
I would agree. That's old school, though, right? Back in the day, like years ago, we didn't have mortgages.
Well,
paid in cash.
I mean, it is true that we've become more accustomed to taking out loans for all kinds of things, right?
So 43%. Yeah, 43%. Wow. Big number. 7 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. America was built by innovators and dreamers like you. To celebrate, LegalZoom dedicated this month to innovation by making it easy for you to file trademark or copyright applications, incorporate your business, or form an LLC. Call or visit LegalZoom.com. They'll provide the personal attention you need and help take care of all the details. For a limited time, get a special price on trademark and copyright applications by using the referral code WSJ at checkout. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help, but they're not a law firm. How legit is your pizza? You might want to ask if you're having a pizza social tomorrow evening. An increasing number of pizzerias and pizza makers are getting certified as authentically Neapolitan. Some see it as a mark of quality. Here's Market Watch reporter Charles Passy in New York. Charles, who does the certifying?
Well, there's a group called, the short initial for it is VPN, but basically stands for True Neapolitan Pizza. Pizza does come from Italy, but over the years in America, we've kind of made it our own thing. And there's this group that started in Italy, which is trying to preserve a very particular style of pizza, the Neapolitan way. It's a very thin pie, very lightly topped. It's sort of the classic pie on which American pizza was really modeled after. And they're trying to basically make it a formal thing. And now they're getting a good number of pizzerias in America to get the certification so that they can say, hey, we're the real deal.
Wow. So how is it certified? You hang something in your window or stamp your pizza box? How does that work?
It's not a cheap or an easy process. We're talking about buying at least $20,000 worth of specialty equipment, including a wood-burning oven. That's very key to how this pizza is made, including a specialty type of mixer. Then on top of that, you have to buy certain essentially approved ingredients. There's a certain type of flour that's used. There are certain types of tomatoes. Most of these ingredients are from Italy. They say you can substitute American ones if they meet the very high standards they set. So you have to keep buying the ingredients. And then on top of that, you have to be trained in everything from how to crush the tomatoes to how to do the dough, how to prepare the dough, how to essentially roll the dough. I mean, they really describe this like an art, as if you were a sculptor, you know, like as if you were the Michelangelo of pizza.
Thanks, Charles. MarketWatch reporter Charles Pazzi, who's based in New York. So technically, a Neapolitan pizza has a maximum circumference of 11 inches, as per the Pizza Association's rules. By contrast, a New York pizza often measures 18 inches. For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning. For more, follow the Wall Street Journal This Morning on Facebook and Twitter, and now on TuneIn.